This is Steve Schrock for another Franklin Matters radio show. This session of the radio show shares the introduction of the Franklin Freedom Team. We recorded this via the Zoom conference bridge on Thursday, January 20th, 2022. Each of the members of this subset of the Full Freedom Team introduced themselves, and then Jamil Adams leads the discussion as we talk about what the Freedom Team is and what it's meant to do here in Franklin. The recording itself runs about 22 minutes, so let's listen into this introduction to the Franklin Freedom Team. Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, WFPR.FM, anywhere on the internet, and in the Franklin, Mass. Area, dial at 102.9, here with a special session of the Freedom Team and some of the key members. I'll let them introduce themselves so that you'll be able to hear who they are and be able to recognize their voice in this audio format for this session today. Jamil, why don't you start?
It'd be my pleasure. My name is Jamil Adams. I'm a Franklin resident. My family and I have been here going on 4 years, and someone who just loves to be involved in the community and appreciates working together with folks.
Hi, I'm Elise Howell. I'm a trauma-informed clinician, also a resident of Franklin. Both my families lived in Franklin for a long time, so I know the town really well.
Hello. This is TJ Lynch, your chief of police. I'm also a Franklin resident, lived in town for the last 26 years. Transplanted from the town of Brookline, but this is home.
Yes, we're not born here, but we're here.
This is Jamie Helen, the town administrator here in Franklin. And as always, Steve, it's a pleasure. And I really appreciate you willing to do a quick podcast on the Franklin Freedom Team and help us get the word out. On the special edition, and look forward to it. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Since I think it was June of 21 that I think Kobe sent me the press release, which I shared, visited the website, and then my calendar summer happened. A vacation actually happened in the middle of the pandemic and things kind of went haywire, but I'm glad and I appreciate your scheduling to get together to do this session. So Jamil, let's start. What is the Freedom Team?
The Freedom Team is a community group. That's where we start. It's a community group. It's based with people in the community from Franklin. The purpose and mission of it simply is to preserve freedom through unity in the community. It can also be reactive, proactive, and retroactive in assessing and addressing any acts of hate or bias in the town of Franklin. We're not a replacement for our great police department and authorities or for any other emergency services, but we are a complement in assisting the community, again, and being active in what happens in our community when it comes to love, inclusion, and trust. The Freedom Team is based on a 10-point community model that identifies 10 pieces of any 10 points of contact in any community that can be duplicated. And those 10 points of contact include parents, students, educational networkers. Typically, there's a school district and or a college that's connected to any given community. Also, someone who represents the town politically, the chief of police, a lawyer, a clinician who's trauma-informed, preferably, and a clergy person that's connected to the varying faiths of any given community, someone that can do restorative and transformative justice practices, and someone that's a social media expert that can navigate all of that. And if ever anything happens, these are the folks that come together willingly, voluntarily, because it doesn't cost anything to have the team, and have took on the role of saying, you know, when something happens in our community, we're going to get together and be a part of bringing folks together, keeping folks together, and working together. That word together says so many times, because that's what it is about, being together under any circumstances. We're part of a network of freedom teams that include Franklin, Hopkinton, Natick, Waltham, Wellesley, and Scituate. And there'll be two more added on within the next month. So yeah, that's what it is. And the beauty of that is we get to work together.
So then clearly on the team, this is a small group of the team for this particular purpose to do the intro. But the full team, if I recall, the representatives are listed on the website that was part of that press release. So it covers the more than the 10 points, I think, of the contacts that you had.
Well, no, the thing with the Freedom Team, it doesn't have to be the 10 points of contact doesn't mean it has to be 10 people.
Okay.
Actually, the teams vary in size. For example, in Hopkinton, they have 17, and we have 11, and Waltham has probably around 8.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, but yeah, absolutely. If you were to go to the Franklin Freedom Team, you would see our mission statement. You'd see what we're about, who is a part of the team, and also that 10-point connection model as well. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, dude. There's not only web presence, there's also a phone number that folks can call as well. It's 508-507-9693. Again, it's 508-507-9693. But that number is not in place of calling the authorities in times of emergency and care and need. It is not for that. Please don't make that mistake.
Provide the support, but in addition to the existing channels, that should be the first line.
Yes.
And Chief, I think you appreciate this kind of support, if I may be so bold in that way.
Oh, I mean, absolutely. I think according to Jamil, I was the first person of that 10-point group that he approached. I called on the phone, and then I said, come on down. And he met with myself and the then Deputy Chief of Police, James Mill, who's since retired. And we met him in this vibrant, very excited about what he wanted to do individual. Jamil Adams came in, we sat down, and he laid the whole thing out of what he had already accomplished in Natick and Waltham, and was looking to do in other communities. He was a resident here in town, and just the way that he explained what it was all about, unity in the community, love, inclusion, and trust, and just being there as a group that could, help when, issues might arise of either racism or hate or other things. So they would be able to offer some things beyond what the police department could offer, at a time when, somebody experienced something like that. And of course, in law enforcement, I mean, no one becomes an officer because they don't want to help people. That's what we're here for.
Right.
And bringing in or embracing another group of individuals that all have the same thing in common, looking to help the community when something might come up that, causes a problem, a scar, so to speak, because of something of hate or racism or whatever would be, fantastic, whether it be working with the schools, if it was school-based, if it was, full community-based. I immediately said, we were interested, the police department would definitely support it, that I myself would support it as being a member. And then I threw a lot of people under the bus, so to speak, because he asked about all different people that could potentially end up, being involved. And I threw out the names of, mostly the town related officials, such as the town administrator and Dr. Ahern, the superintendent of schools. And mm-hmm. I have a good working relationship with Tom Alpert, who's the rabbi at Temple
Rabbi, time, sure.
Et cetera. So those people have never said anything to me, but maybe, but I think they all wanted to join. They were all 100% in as well. And it's gone very well so far. And I think it's a great thing, and I'm glad that we have it in this community.
Yeah. I think to the extent that you were able to also leverage your network, because clearly in your role, you still need somebody's help anyway, and depending upon where the situation goes. So, yeah.
No one agency in town can take care of anything, and we always work together anyway, as far as the town goes, whether it be, public safety, police, fire, always DPW is needed, the building mm-hmm. inspector, whatever it might come down to. This is just another tool in the toolbox as we address these things that, are happening, potentially happen in the community. Thankfully in Franklin, we don't see it very often, but when it does, it can, it causes people to be hurt and so forth. And this is a place where people can come and talk about those things and so forth. And, maybe not get closure, but, at least, address the things that need to, be done, that are outside of the purview of the police department. And some people may feel more comfortable bringing these types of things to a group that's not law enforcement. And the Freedom Team, I'm hoping, will do a great job of basically supporting the police department and the fact that they know that, we do want to assist in these type of things. And you can trust us because you know, we're involved in it beyond just from a law enforcement perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. Trust is critical these days. And at least from your role, I'm sure you get an opportunity to provide some of your insights and background into this particular group in terms of whatever the situation is and planning accordingly.
Yeah. So I appreciated the opportunity to join because as a social worker, we really work with social justice and trying to achieve that. And working from a person and environment perspective, all levels of community that this group reaches. So I think what the clinician's role really is providing some of those clinical resources. Like I helped out doing some trainings on community trauma. And I think it's very appropriate for this time because while we have the pandemic and the ongoing social justice issues, I think the entire world is experiencing a trauma through both of those things. So having that perspective and being able to provide that to the team has really been something I've enjoyed over the past year.
And it's I think to what was said earlier, we don't have the opportunity every day, and that's fortunate, but it does come up. And having this kind of a team to provide that support, I'm sure, Jamie, even from your position, where you're effectively the leader of the town, you need help. You can't do it alone.
I appreciate that acknowledgement, Steve. You're right. I can't. And to the chief's point and everybody's points, I mean, we do have an unbelievable team that works together, but I'm, you know, I'm proud to be a part of the group. I mean, you know, I can't actually, I do think it was the chief that, or maybe the superintendent, a couple reached out to me to be a part of it. There was a no hesitation element to it. You know, I think, you know, people probably don't know a lot about my past, but, you know, in my former years, I did a lot of social justice related work, particularly relating to gay marriage years ago, when that was before the legislature in the early 2000s and even in the 90s. I've done a lot of community organizing work and a variety of other things. And so, I do believe that this is the next generation's related, you know, civil rights related issues, if you will, for lack of a better term. Mm-hmm. You know, addressing hate is a complicated issue fraught with free speech issues and, you know, obviously a lot of contention. I agree with Elise. This has been a very traumatic time for a lot of people. And I think what we're also unearthing, to Elise's point, is the trauma of decades or, you know, decades and you know, well over hundreds of years of pain and you know, it's coming to light and there's a lot of good out of it. There's been a lot of struggles out of it, but if I can lend my time towards an effort like this to make the community feel better and be there as a presence, listen, participate, hear from people. And, you know, like the chief said, and I know I speak for the superintendent, you know, on this as well, if there's things that we can do in our capacity as leaders for the town, you know, we want to know them, we want to hear them. And I think, you know, in doing a lot of research relative to these issues myself, you know, one of the things that, you know, for many organizations is on everyone's checklists of best practices, if you will, is community conversations. And the yes. Franklin Freedom Ring brings that. And in fact, you know, if I may even take a little tangent, we had a meeting in December. We opened it up to the public and, you know, there's a half a dozen or so folks that came. And I think over time, you know, I'm hoping that the Franklin Freedom team can really be that resource. It's one of the things the superintendent and I have been talking about for a long time about what to do. And we're proud of the work that we've been able to accomplish so far. I'm extraordinarily proud of the Franklin Police Department. When police reform came out, the way that was handled by the FPD was incredible. And, you know, our chief in particular and the whole staff have done a great job on that. We know there's no end zone to this game. It's going to continue to go on for a long time, and that's okay. We're going to continue to improve every day. You know, I think this was an opportunity to really get at one of those issues that a lot of people say we need to do, which is really talk. And I think we're still working as a team on how to best present that to the community. And that's okay. We've done some already, and I expect ones in the future to be much broader and much larger, and hopefully people will participate because it really is helpful. And I think as we all navigate such choppy waters and we all isolate from things that are uncomfortable, and we've been at home on Zoom like we are now, not interacting as much, I think that this type of an effort is even more important to try to get people out and to get engage them on these issues and make sure that their needs are being met. So it's been a great effort so far after about a year, and we look forward to the future years ahead for sure.
There are a couple of things that I just want to share. One is that everyone on the Freedom Team, no one was coerced to be on it. Mm-hmm. I mean, folks said yes when they were asked.
That's a great point.
They want to be on it, and folks led to one another being a part of it. And so our team is just that. It's a team of folks. So Camille and Justin and Kobe, Reverend Kathy, Angelina, who's now a college student, but also Judy, Angela, and Megan, all of those folks are part of our team. We all come together. And there's some other folks who want to join us, so we'll look at that. We've also been proactive, so some of the programming that folks are talking about. The other thing, I'll be remiss if we didn't mention the open mic that we did in collaboration with the folks at the Black Box Theater in the high school. Kobe was instrumental in making that happen. Elise has done a workshop on how communities can navigate trauma that had members from the Natick Freedom Team visit that as well. And also she's taken that workshop to school districts as well. So, and this was also done for free. So she did that through just the graces of her heart. So we appreciate that. Also, we were part of the conversation with Littles and things. So there's just a number of things that the team is a part of, and we're proud of it. And so there'll be a lot more that will come. So it's an exciting time. It's a great group of people to be with. And so, you know, check us out.
And now, second your plug on the Love Franklin Open Mic Night, because I know somebody had an opportunity to participate, and that was fun. I really enjoyed that. It gave me a chance to do something other than reporting on a town meeting or facilitating an interview, et cetera. I stepped out of my chair for a minute or two to do stuff there. And I think there was an internet friend of mine who now has passed, but her words are still true. And I think I've sent them to in a couple of other interview places. You're only a stranger once. Once you start talking with somebody, you find out, oh, you did that. I did this. You did that. You grew up that. I did. Once you start talking, that door opens. The trouble is, how do you get to that point? Because the division, unfortunately, today, people just say, oh, no, I'm not going there. Oh, no, I'm not going there. But with that type of an event, again, an open mic, it's not going to meet the entire community, but it meets a need in the community. And then finding other events, which I'm sure you'll be working on, to bring these people together, period, to have the conversations.
Absolutely. At a time where it can be so divisive, we exist to bring people together. Mm-hmm. Amidst the controversy, amidst the difference of opinions, amidst the varying life experiences that people have, that is not an excuse for us not to come together. COVID is not an excuse for us not to come together. Being virtual doesn't mean we can't be in community. And we represent that.
And I will do my part to share what you do and when you do it and how you do it. And this, yeah, I think, will be one of a series as we get more into what you're doing and when you're doing it, et cetera. And I look forward to that because, at least from my conversations with members of the community, they're asking that question. Well, what is this Freedom Team? We've heard about it, but what do they do? Where did they come from? So hopefully this will answer that question for them.
Well, Steve, I think just to interject to that, I think one of the things that I like about the model that Jamil brought is one of the things that's impressed me out of the gate. We're not trying to save the world in a day. And we didn't get into this predicament of hate in a moment, and we're not going to get out of it in a day. And it really is a very disciplined, patient, understanding model that I think when people ask, what do you do? We're still actually working that out ourselves as well as a group. And I think that my hope is that the group can, you know, become larger, maybe not with, you know, with members maybe, but I think it's still customizable. And, you know, as Jamil pointed out earlier, there's different sizes of these groups in different communities. I think this is going to still grow. I still think the group has a basic mission. We have the phone number, we have the email, we have the contact information. We're there for people in need. But also, as things have evolved in our society over the last year, with what we've seen on TV, what we read in the news, what we see across the country, what we hear of happening in our town, you know, I think and I believe that this program and this group is going to continue to evolve to address that. And I think one of the things that I would encourage any listener out there today to do is if you're not 100% sure exactly what we do, that's okay. Just come to some of the meetings, check in on Franklin Matters on the website, on social media, and just come down and see what it's about and just try to be a friend. And as Jamil pointed out, he's right. You know, we can't make excuses for COVID and this, that, or the other thing. You know, we need to come together. And I think this community has shown in a lot of times recently, in a lot of the incidents that have happened recently, that the town does come together. And we're still evolving in terms of what our program offering will be. You know, like I just said, in December, we had some group time and invited the public in. And I sincerely hope that we're going to continue that as a group to get people out to come out and share their stories and be a part of that unity. So we're going to continue to evolve just like society's evolving. And I think that's one of the exciting points. I think that's one of the exciting points of the group, quite frankly.
Well, I think that covers the initial pieces that we wanted to do in this intro. And we'll give a teaser to everybody else. Stay tuned. We'll be coming back with some more as they continue to figure out and come up with some events so we can more fully join in the conversation as we go. So thank you all for participating tonight to tell some of your stories. If anybody else has any other last bits of wisdom to share with the group, feel free to do so.
I actually thought TJ was going to tell a joke, so I don't know what happened there.
I did a lot last night.
He's chock full of them. Yeah, you did have a lot of them last
night. I don't want to joke. This is not like it's can't be jokeable, but it's a serious matter. You know what I'm saying? Yes.
So, yes. Nah, Steve, thanks. Like, as Jamie said from the beginning, thanks for agreeing to.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends.
My platform, but it's really part of the
community. Please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.